Drummond. Good evening, folks. Welcome to North Gainesville Baptist Church. So I'll take your song books and turn to page 114. Page 114, sing the first, second, last verse. Page 114. Tell it to Jesus.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone on the last. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. There's no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
All right, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house, Lord, and tell it to you, Lord, and enter your throne room with our troubles, Lord, and our and most importantly with our praises of everything you do in our lives, Lord. Be with us this evening, Lord, as we study your word, Lord, and just build a hedge of protection around this church, Lord, and do not allow anything to interfere with our ability to hear what you have prepared for us tonight. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So just announcements. We have Brother Clayton is going to be joining us Sunday morning and Sunday evening. It'll be nice to see how he's progressed in his development as a preacher. And then the following Sunday Sunday the 31st, excuse me, is Easter, so it's a little early, last Sunday of the month. And then that morning we won't be having Sunday school, but we'll be fed instead of through the word, through actually food. So we have breakfast that morning. So you know, I'll be watching those that normally say it's too early to come to Sunday school. See if you show up for breakfast, and I'll know, right? We'll be keeping tabs on that. And then April 12th, we have the Phoebe Spring auction. And then the 13th, churchwide visitation. And then towards the end of April, we have men's fish fry. So we're all looking forward to that. We are still working on the directory. Go ahead and validate the information that's on there now, and picking up any stragglers for the pictures. And I think we're getting pretty close, right, Brother Jimmy? Okay, so we'll have to canvas some more, make sure that we get everybody's picture, and then we'll go ahead and send it to the printer. We'll have new directories for this year. All right, Brother Chuck.
All right, let's take a song. Let's turn to page 197. 197. We'll sing the first, second, last verse, page 197.
In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. where the waters cold flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkness of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
On the last,
away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Amen. Let's shake hands. Thank you.
morning, Miss Robin. Did, Brother Pete got that picture up from a little while back, a few weeks ago on Wednesday night. But it looked like somebody took church and tipped it up like this, and everybody fell on that side for some reason compared to what it was back then. Let's all take songbooks and turn to page 254. Page 254, we sing all the verses of this one. Page 254, His Name is Wonderful. His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Brother Ed, can you pray over the offering, please? Amen. Well, I thought we'd do something a little different tonight. We're going to do more of a devotional than a study itself. And it was just something that got placed in my heart, and I prayed about it. And then the Lord, as He normally does, I'll explain in a little bit, kind of answered prayer and gave me some reassurance of what we needed to cover tonight. So we're going to be talking about trusting the Lord in His promises, and you know, we're all familiar with social media by now. You know, education is something that we that's necessary for our lives. But one of the things that we're encountering, and you're seeing this more on the news, is that the amount of information that we all digest and we all consume, that we're all involved in, is just almost overwhelming. And you start searching for a particular topic on the internet, and pretty soon you're down a rabbit hole. We've all experienced that. And then you look at the sources of some of the information that you're taking in, digesting, and they're not always, you know, rooted in foundation of facts. Things that used to be written by, you know, some wacko in a log cabin somewhere as a manifesto, and you probably know who I'm talking about, they wouldn't even publish in the papers because it was just so out there. now that's just all available. And so these folks are finding a following over anything. And so that's the mobile age. That's our information age. That's our high-tech age, our social media age. And it's competing for our attention and that of our families, right? So there's certain steps finally coming about slowly to ban some of the things for certain age groups. And I think you've seen in Florida, they're talking about banning some social media from smaller age groups because I think they're recognizing what's happening with our mental health. And especially, you know, those developmental minds being exposed to all this junk out there. And then, of course, the latest thing also is still trying to ban TikTok, which is controlled by a foreign government. So everybody's waking up to all the horrors of this. But yet, you know, you talk to a friend or brother or sister in Christ, and 9 times out of 10, the conversation always starts with, hey, did you see this video? Or did you see this post? Or did you see this? And it's all on this social media, right? And now you need fact checkers to check the fact checkers, right? Then, you know, it just never ends. So the world is consumed by this. And this is really a warning for Christians, myself included, that we shouldn't be allowed to consume ourselves with this world platform. That's what it is. And you know, as Christians, we ironically, we're concerned about what music we're listening to, what TV shows we're watching, what movies we're going to see, what books we're reading. And then we flip on the computer and that's the Las Vegas of information. You know, there's no filter for that. We just allow ourselves to jump in both feet, dive right in. And we don't, we're not as cautious about that as we should, right? And so one thing we do know is that we don't need any fact checkers for the Bible. Amen. So, you know, in times like these, as Christians, we have to remind ourselves where to put our trust, especially the information that we're digesting, right? And the only place to trust that is in God Almighty. And spend time, little time in the world, and soon you find out, you know, that who has the facts straight. You know, it's the Bible is without error, and then you spend time in social media and you find out that there's really no trust. You can't put your trust there. And trust is an interesting word. It means to place your confidence on something or someone. Sometimes in the military, you trust a person to your right and to your left, and you trust them with your life, right? And so whenever, you know, you go to workplaces, love to instill trust within, your fellow coworkers. And they'll, I don't know if anybody's been blessed, quote unquote, to go to a management retreat or a team building retreat at work, right? Oh my gosh, those were horrible. And one of the things they always loved to do is they used to do the trust fall thing, you know? And this is when you cross your arms and you allow yourself to fall back, you know? And there's supposed to be two people behind me to catch me. And you have to just kind of not look and trust that they're going to catch you. Anybody do that? Anybody try that? You know, I had to try that. And so here's what it looks like if you've never seen it. This is at a church. Well, I don't think that's, that didn't work either. Yeah, that's not how it's done. But so much went wrong here. You know, she placed her trust in the wrong person, and she was hoping, you know, the big sign says hope, that they would catch her, and it didn't work. The other thing that we're having to put our trust in is in the way of technology is our cars now, right? I mean, that's the brand new tech.
In everyday driving, nothing is more fundamental to avoiding a collision than stopping before you have one. But too often, humans are, well, human, and don't brake in time or at all. That's where forward collision avoidance technology comes in, and ideally appears in cars we really buy, not just as a pricey option on pricey ones. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety has been watching forward collision technology come down to earth in three flavors.
There's the warning.
Warning you of a forward collision. Pre-charging the brakes before a collision to increase their effectiveness when you do get on them.
If it detects a high risk of impact, the system will prime the brakes to help you stop more quickly.
And automatic braking, so the car will pull itself partially or fully to a stop, even if you drop the ball.
And there's the auto brake.
So either you have this in your car already, or you're going to get it, because that is almost 8 years old or so. And so the amount of cars that had it back then was increasing, and almost half of the cars that was just an option. And then slowly they're just going to incorporate it into, you know, one of the standard features. Now, I just know this because, you know, I know my brothers and sisters in Christ, you're thinking, I'm never going to have that in my car. There's no way I'm going to have that, and I don't need it, and I don't trust it. But you know what? You want that person behind you to have it, especially in Gainesville, that UF student watching those TikTok videos about ready to slam to the back of your car. Those are the ones that you really want it, right? And it is going to be one of those things that we're going to just slowly put our trust in. And God gives us warnings in the Bible of what to avoid doing, right, before we do it. And yet we tend to ignore those same signs, just like driving. And in the video, all these things are really going to be into the world of autonomous driving. And it's going to take trust when those things happen. And if you ever have one of those and you see your car slowing down, you know, you have a couple of options. You can just see if the car is going to stop, put your total trust in it, maybe put your foot over the brake just in case, you know, or just disengage it, because there's no way that you're going to allow it to stop on itself. But we tend to trust those things before we learn to truly trust in the Lord and with our care and listen to his warnings. In Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So to trust the Lord just really means to believe who he is and what he says he's doing, he's going to do. You know, we can trust. Trust also means to have confidence in something, in someone, right? And confidence meaning that we have an assurance that leads to action that we can put our total faith in, right? Confidence that it will keep us from harm. Trusting in the Lord through faith allow us to boldly serve, go up and do devotionals, stuff like that, lead singing, you know, lead Sunday school, go in and help with the missions conference, cleaning up every single little minor detail, everything having to do with serving the Lord, maybe even going out to the mission field or at least, you know, part-time or during the summer or something. All our knowledge, wisdom, and will should be infused with a confident assurance of the Lord. But first, our source of information still is the internet. We still go to that. Whenever we have a problem, something goes wrong, let's Google it, or let's call a friend, right? But we know in Jeremiah, it says we lean on our own understanding. We trust our own knowledge and discernment to support us through the life. Instead of in Jeremiah 17:9, he says the problem with all of this, with doing that, is the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, I read this as Jeremiah for some reason. I just picture some older Jewish guy saying, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oy vey, who can know it? You know, I just read it that way because I just hear him get frustrating, you know, saying, you know, our sinful nature can't be counted on. You can't count on that. It's so unpredictable. Who can know it? Who can predict it? It's just going to go wherever it wants to go. And that's what we do on our Google searches. Leads you a place where you don't really want to go to. So it takes us to places where, you know, theology that we really know is not right, just doesn't sound right. And we're getting more and more questions from people that are getting into these rabbit holes and then come back to the church and say, hey, you know, I read this. Is this right? It doesn't sound right. But listen, this person is challenging this aspect of our doctrine or this aspect of the Bible or this other thing, and we're feeling more and more questions about basic theology, right? Especially for those that aren't immersing themselves in the Word. They get caught up in that really, really easy, right? And we need to warn them. We need to make sure their eyes aren't wandering into those places. It's just, who's the author of confusion? Who's the author of confusion? And that's who's driving it, right? So it's a process that we have to go through in order to transform our hearts, right? Because naturally they're wicked. And then it transforms to a holy, just really means set apart for His use, right? Holy hearts, immersing ourselves in the Word and allowing the indwelling Spirit that we have to get stronger and more audible. And what I mean by this is that we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but we tend to quash it down with all this junk that we're consuming in our eyes and our ears and so on and so forth. And then so when we're spending more time in that junk, it squashes that Holy Spirit. And so we have to cultivate that God-trusting hearts, right? By focusing on Scripture, prayer time, Bible study, companionship, coming to church. These things tune our hearts to the Spirit. And then it allows that audible reminders, allows us to stay away from all that other stuff, all of man's, I won't say understanding, I'll say misunderstanding in social media, right? It's away from those bad habits, more on Christ, allowing us to serve Him in good times and in bad. You know, helps us battle sin and allows us to enjoy that peace that He has for us, right? So to trust is to acknowledge God in everything. And this is why Proverbs tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He shall direct it, not you. He shall. Acknowledging God means God is with us wherever we are, whenever we are, doing whatever we're doing. And how many times do you do, a Bible search compared to how many times you do a Google search, right? Before making a tough decision. You have a decision instead of coming to the altar, instead of handing it over to the Lord. Whatever it is, allowing us to perceive His character and His will in our life and the decision and so on. Compare that to the times you just go on Google or you call a friend or whatever. And believe me, when you're calling a friend for advice, but 9 times out of 10, you want that friend to echo back what you already think. I'm sorry, that's human nature. We want them to confirm what you're already going to do. Jeremiah 17 gives us a little more clarity. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit, regardless of what's going on around our world, regardless, you know, using our church sanctuary as an example, you know, the wickedness of Gainesville all around this, the drought and everything else going on, we know here it's planted. Here there's the living waters of God. And here we can come in and be fed by the Word. Doesn't mean that life's going to be easy. Doesn't mean that we're going to have any difficulties, but we have that confidence in God, right, in the midst of everything else going on. He keeps us focused and useful, even when we feel that things are against us, even when we're being attacked. And we've all experienced that at some point or another, maybe more than once. You come into work, and then all of a sudden you find a human resource director sitting in your office, or in your cubicle, and you go, this is not good. You know, or you come in Monday morning, and you answer the phone, and you say, hey, this is Pete. And it's like, yeah, I need you to come to the HR. You know, you've been downsized. You know, we're shifting plans, or we're eliminating your position, all that stuff. And unless you're rooted with the Lord, suddenly you have a choice, right? You can trust in the Lord. He's going to get through it. He's got a plan. This is all going to work out. There's something better happening. Or you're going to let yourself get bitter, right? Get depressed. Stop functioning, right? hardest thing about a devotional I mentioned was trying to figure out what, you know, what to cover. And then once you start developing to figure out, is this really what the Lord wants me to talk about? And so this Monday, just 2 days ago, I was talking to somebody and hadn't seen him for a while, and we hadn't done business in a while. And he said, well, since the last time, you know, you saw me, I've gone through a divorce. And that same week I was going through a divorce, my father died. And, you know, he reacted the same way most of us, most people do. It hit him hard, and he couldn't pull out of it. He went into a deep depression, just really kind of paralysis, really despair, couldn't function. And so, you know, the scary part about getting yourself into that kind of situation is when you have kids. You have kids, that's, you know, you can't take a day off. You can't have a sick day from kids, you know. Can't call in sick. I'm not feeling too good, kids. Sorry. It doesn't work that way. You got to keep putting food on the table. You have to provide, right? Because that's not sustainable. Being in depression and despair and paralysis is not sustainable. It's a downward spiral. We know that. Now, fortunately, things turned around for him. He's back on top. And what got him through? What is he able to look back and see what got him through? The Lord got him through. Fully acknowledging that there was a better thing the Lord had prepared for him all along. And so the Lord was ready for it, but he wasn't. And so he allowed himself to go through that period, and he put himself through that, and it wasted effort and whatever effect it had to his kids and so on and so forth, right? And it's a shame, because as Christians, we should know better. We should know better. Why? Because the Bible has examples and examples of examples of people that went through a lot more than that and got through it. Adam and Eve. Well, wait a minute, Brother Pete. They weren't shining examples of trust. Well, you know what? We can learn from bad examples. I had three older brothers. All of them really bad examples that I was able to say, I don't want to do that because I don't want to end up like that, right? And so we know the story of Adam and Eve and how that ended up. Noah, you know, he trusted. He built the ark. 8 people, his family, survived with him. 120 years he was preaching and nobody listened. And that's on them, not him. Abraham, he trusted God when they told him to leave his homeland, journey to a place where God would show him, and he trusted him. And then when he was told to sacrifice his son Isaac, he trusted God. Joseph, sold into slavery, and he trusted God, became the second most powerful man in Egypt, and was able to turn around and help his family. Moses trusted God, led his people away from the Pharaoh and out of Egypt. Joshua and Caleb trusted God going into the promised land, and everybody else was saying, there be giants there, you know, and all that. Ruth, a Moabite widow, trusted the God of Israel and decided to stay with her mother-in-law, Naomi. David, even when King Saul, you know, on the penalty of death and so on and so forth, pursued David. And then Daniel, he trusted God, and it was evident when he was, you know, threatened with death. And who else was there? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? In the fiery furnace. And they say that there was a theophany where, you know, it's probably Jesus that appeared there. And they refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar. Esther, trusting God, she risked her life to approach the king to save her people. Job, he went through so many trials, and God, you know, said, no, watch, he's going to keep his trust. He's not going to lose his faith, right? Mary, and she told the angel Gabriel, let it be to me according to your word. She was willing to trust God with what they had in store for her, right? And it's a big gift. Peter, you know, despite of all his flaws and all these things and his character, he put his eyes on Jesus, was able to walk on water. And then what happened as soon as he put his eyes away? Yeah, wah, wah, wah. And that's a life lesson right there, right? And then finally, Paul, you know, all the things that he went through, not only his background and the most unlikely person to be an apostle, and yet, you know, today we sing his words in 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I have believed it, and am that I that committed. Man, I thought for sure you guys would just sing it. I mean, it's like, but we know that verse because of the song, right? And it's just a beautiful words, and it's a reassuring word because it helps us keep focus on his trust. And it tells us in Proverbs, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Putting our trust in the wisdom of man, looking to ourselves both individually, right? Or whatever organization you're at. You know, heaven forbid this church starts looking at ourselves instead of God corporately, right? Because that's evil. Because we are leaning on man, on the word, on our flesh, on our desires, our pride. I can do this. I don't need any more help. Right? That puts us right in, pride puts us right in Satan's domain. And that's where he wants us, because that's his playground. And then he can manipulate things. And then we wonder why we get depressed and we go into despair. Man, that's just him keeping us down. And so when it comes to our personal lives, our work lives, our church life, anything we plan in this church, we need to be diligent. We had to be filtered through his word, through prayer, through meditating, before we do anything else. And this sums it up. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So stopping there, can you imagine how much knowledge an entire world history has compared to the knowledge of God? It would probably just take a tip of his pinky, you know, so to speak, compared to the knowledge of God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And you know, men tend to say, oh, I don't need anything else. I don't need God right now. I can fix this, right? And it's just vanity. Therefore, let no man glory in men, right? So whoever we think, whatever we think we know, the Lord knows more. We can't outdo that, right? And I wonder if God often looks at us like a parent looks at a four-year-old. That four-year-old looks up at the parent and all mad and says, I'm just going to move out of the house, make my own way. You know, and that parent looks at the four-year-old, where are you going to go? Your sister's bedroom? You know, it's like, you know. But I wonder if sometimes we appear that we think we know so much more, but by comparison, it's just this huge divide, whatever. And so the solution is to live Proverbs 3:7, not wise in our own eyes, right? Standing in awe to the Lord, living in respectful fear of him. And that's not popular in a lot of churches, in a lot of more liberal churches, because they want to have this God to be loving and welcoming, but he's omniscient. He's the Almighty God. We should revere him. We should be respectful to him. We should be careful the way we use the word God and not use it in vain, so on and so forth. Truly understanding the scope of his love, we must understand that he expects more from us. Once we're saved, he expects more from us. And so the way to allow us to get out of the habit of relying on our own knowledge and understanding is to be in his word. And allow that word to speak to us. The same way it speaks to those apostles back in the day, the way it's spoken to us all through our entire lives. And the Lord not only makes his loving kindness that much more incredible by doing that, but he also motivates us to avoid evil, convicts us when we get involved in the things that we shouldn't be getting involved with, right? So what attraction can sin hold in the face of all-knowing God? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And that's just a simple verse, When we break that down, the word navel here is only used in two ways, the actual umbilical cord and the actual belly button, right? Navel. And so here it is spoken of a healing as a connotation of a rebirth in the way it's used here. And so the Lord means for you to undergo a rebirth, a new life, a new way of doing things, not the same old person, old man, so to speak. And then what else is here? It talks about the marrow, right? And what do we know about the marrow? Well, it produces the blood cells, right? Pushes that into the bloodstream. Our bodies could not produce white blood cells to fight infection, for instance, or the red blood cells to carry oxygen, or stop the bleeding from clotting. All of those is coming out of the marrow. And this was written at a time where there was no such thing as a microscope. They had no idea that the marrow was that important for everything. And yes, so you read that sentence and health and the marrow to thy bones by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That knowledge was always there. And he will not abandon us or take back his word. He is true to his promises through everything. He's not capable of lying, right? So what did God promise? Well, he promised everlasting life. In John 3:16, we know that verse very well, right? Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. The Holy Spirit, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray thy Father, and he will give you another comforter. He told us he was going to do this, right? In John 14:15-17, peace. He says, I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth peace. The world can't give us the peace that God gives us, right? Love. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. It's like he is God, the faithful God. And Deuteronomy 7:9. Care. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. This is the people, the ungodly people worry about all these things. They seek. The ungodly people do the Google searches on how to solve all these problems. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows what you need. In other words, he's ready to provide it. So he goes on to say, but seek ye first. In other words, Bible search first, right? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. And I think that's another song. Another song. Matthew 6:31-33. To listen. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he'll hear us, right? Heareth us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us. Strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah 40:31. Rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean on me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And once we start trusting the Lord, once we get into the Word, we find that out, it gets easier and easier to live for him, to dedicate our lives to it, right? These are all the things we can count on. Why? Because he said he was going to provide it, and he never lies. I always use this analogy because this is the barrier of our ability to trust the Lord and to live for him and allow him all the blessings that he has in store. God wants to use us, but we create these our own barriers. We show up at his doorsteps, at his holy doorsteps, and we try to enter the throne room with all these unresolved issues, all these things that we have in our lives, all the sins, the things that we're allowing ourselves to do, or the things that we just keep stumbling on, right? Unconfessed sins, things in life we don't want to give up. And to me, it looks like this. It looks like entering into a sterile environment like that. They can't use you. I'm sorry, it could be the most top-notch surgeon in the world, have all sorts of gifts of healing, but there's no way that that person can be used for his intended purpose. And the other analogy is as a kid being out, you know, playing the dirt in the world, and you're coming in for supper because your mom called you, and you show up at the door, and what's the first thing she's going to say? Go to the bathroom and go get cleaned up before you sit at the table, right? And it's the same thing that applies to us. God expects the same. So as we close tonight, and just a thought, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. With my song will I praise him. I like to try to focus on the things that the Lord has done, rather than always coming to prayer with, well, you know, I need. I mean, we are a needy people. But, you know, first acknowledge everything that he's done. Trust him in his promises. And he's given us his word. And we encounter doubts and worries often. That's our natural thing, is our human nature. And when this happens, the best thing, again, is to trust, go back to his word. In the midst of our doubts, look to his word for help. But again, we have to do our part. We have to get right with God. And he's ready to forgive anything any shortfall that we have, right? We're saved children of God, and never stops loving us. We know that. The other thing to think about, and it's kind of just, you know, really hit me, was that if you're being used by God, if you're in a ministry, if you're out there witnessing, if you're, you know, doing something in the church, you know, he knows it. God wants you to keep moving forward because he loves you, but he also needs you to stay focusing, doing the work that he wants you to do. You're being used by him with whatever gift that he's given you. He wants you to be in that exact place, and he's going to try to do everything he can to keep you there. And the only person that's going to interfere with his ability to do it is yourself. It's our free will. At some point we can just say, no, there's this shiny thing and I'm going to go that way. And then he can't use this anymore, right? So as we were discussing this, you know, you probably thought of different situations, maybe hardships or things that occurred in your life that you trusted in the Lord and he saw you through. And in Robin and I's case, you know, I referred to earlier about the downsizing and all that stuff and coming on Monday morning. Those were real situations that happened to us, right? In her case, she was downsized. She went home. She wasn't even at the house for more than an hour or so, and somebody came knocking on the door saying, hey, there's this opportunity. They didn't even know that she had just been downsized. Literally a few hours before, came to her house door, two or three friends, saying, hey, you know, we're working for this other place, and there's this opportunity. You know, only God does that. In my case, I had that Monday morning HR call, and 48 hours, they called me and literally said, and I quote, okay, this is bizarre. This is weird. You know, we're not used to this. Is unknown territory for us, but would you be willing to do this other thing because we have this need? And both of us just stood back and gave God the glory, because we know those things just don't happen. They were so unusual and so out of the blue that was the Lord. That was putting trust and confidence in the Lord. Anybody else go through a weird certain situation that you just know the Lord had your back, that he got you through it? Anything anybody want to share real quick? Dorothy?
Calls Yeah, that's great. That's amen. Anybody else? Brother Chuck? Amen. All the time. You did? Amen. And your head's still attached. That's a miracle as well. Amen, brother. Amen. Anybody else? You know, and sometimes, you know, sometimes the Lord works, and wow, it's people don't see it, right? They don't acknowledge it. Exactly. Right. Amen. Amen. Right. Exactly right. Amen. Any more tithing stories? No. I like that one. Anyone else? All right. So let's go ahead and close our devotional in prayer, and then we'll have our missionary focus time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight's message, Lord, for all of us. It's for me and for everybody in the sound of my voice, Lord, and those watching online, Lord. And we pray that they're able to receive it, Lord, and digest it and heed these verses and these examples of biblical characters, Lord, that that trusted you, Lord, and these examples that were mentioned, Lord, of situations where trust was placed on you, Lord, and you answered prayer, Lord, and we were able to take us through the difficult times, Lord, and we thank you for the man I mentioned, Lord. I won't mention his name, but you got him through it, Lord, and now he's able to be a witness for you, Lord, and to trust first and foremost, Lord, the promises that you have for each and every one of us.